Book of Titus, chapter 3, starting from verse 1.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work.
Okay, now St. Paul is telling to Titus, there are the powers and principalities of the air, those are the demonic forces. But there is another principalities and powers and magistrate, they are in this world, the rulers of this world. So he said, tell the people, tell your congregation, tell the Christian people, listen to the higher authorities. Your president, your governor, your mayors, police officers, your teachers, and everyone who is in higher authority, you should be listening to them, obeying them. Some people said, I don't like somebody ruling my life. But when we are living in this world, we have higher authorities. Go to the book of Romans chapter 13, starting from verse 1. 1 to 7.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
So here is very plainly St. Paul is saying, higher authorities are given by God. You like it or you don't like it. If you break the law, then you will be punished. But if you are not breaking the law, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. Just think that you are driving and police is coming after you. If your license is okay, if your car is insured, if you didn't hit anybody, you don't have to be worried about police following you. But if you did something wrong, then you have fear about higher authorities. So here he's saying, teach your church, teach your people to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrate, to be ready to every good work. That means we are living in this world and we are living for Christ. If you are working somewhere, you are working for God. Each and every place, let the people know that we are born again children of God. They can see Christ in us. We don't have to disobey our masters. We don't have to disobey our higher authorities. But let them know we are good workers. They hire you, you can please them. Other people will be envy. Other people will be saying, you are working too much. You are doing too honest job. You should not be doing like this. You have to say, sir, I'm not working for anybody. I'm working for Christ. And you set a good example for others. Okay, Titus 3:2.
To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
Now here again he's saying, speak evil to no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. There is no partiality. Like, I don't like this person, that's why I hate him. Or I don't like this lady, that's why I hate her. My neighbors are bad. I don't like them. He says, no. You should be a child of God. Don't do any evil to any man. And don't fight with anybody. If somebody hits you, you said, I'm sorry, sir, if I did something wrong. Why are you hitting me if I didn't do anything wrong? And even though if you hit me, God bless you. I don't think that man is going to hit you again. But if you say, okay, you hit me, I'm going to show you. And then you start fighting, he might be stronger than you, or he might be weaker than you. And you're going to do more troubles, more problems. So here he's saying, be gentle, be kind, show your meekness to all men. Because God has put us here to show forth the love and kindness of Jesus Christ. We were just in the book of Romans 13 chapter. Go back and let's read a couple of more verses. Start this time from 8 to 10.
Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
See, he says only one thing you have to know. If you love God and if you love your neighbor, you are not going to do any harm to your neighbor. You're not going to steal from the neighbor. You're not going to look at his wife. You're going to be helpful to your neighbor. Once you start loving your neighbor, then you're not going to do anything wrong. Now somebody says, I don't know how to love my neighbor because they are nasty. They always do trouble to me. How can I live patiently with my neighbors? Let's go to the St. John chapter 13 and verse 34.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Now this he is telling his disciples. He said, you followed me. I am giving you a new commandment. There are 10 commandments, but he's saying, I'm not talking about those 10 commandments. I'm giving you new commandments. And that is the commandment of love. If you love one another, other people are going to find out you are my followers. Because Jesus Christ, when he was dying on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. So Jesus Christ forgave everyone. Now somebody says, you know, I'm always angry. I'm always having problem. I don't know how to control my life. What should I do? Simply receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And say, Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. I do not have control over my life. I want you to wash me, cleanse me, renew me, and give me new life. And what the Word of God says, the day you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what happens? You became a new creation. Read that verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
See, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he said, now you are new creature, means new creation. God has created you according to his image. Once you receive Jesus Christ, he gives you power to say no to sin. If you are drinking all the time, if you're smoking all the time, if you're stealing all the time, if you're doing anything wrong and you have no control, simply say, Jesus, I surrender. I want you to give me the new life. Once the new life comes, the old life is passed away. Automatically. It might take some days, some weeks, but it will be gone if you are in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the Titus chapter 3, verse 3.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
See, it's very simple. He says we were just like other worldly people. We were doing all evil things. But that doesn't mean I was doing evil things so I can continuously keep on doing evil. He said, I changed you. You were all evil. We were all doing bad things. And we were not living according to the will of God. But he said, Jesus Christ did something. He renewed you. He gave you new life. Abundant grace and mercy and kindness came through Jesus Christ. If you go to the Ephesians chapter 2, start reading from verse 1. Jesus Christ came and quickened us, our dead spirit. Now we are alive. Please read.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
See now, here is saying we were dead in our sins. We were doing all kinds of evil things. But he says God was so merciful, so kind, so loving. He sent his only begotten son to die on the cross of Calvary. And all these things, God gave it to us free. He said you didn't have to do anything. If this is not by your works, by grace we are saved. There is not a single man can say, I did something, or I was a good man, or I was a good woman, that's why God saved me. No. The word of God says, Romans chapter 3 verse 23, says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here he's saying, you did not do any good works. Our good works are filthy rags in the sight of God. So he says, you cannot boast that you did something to get saved. This is all the grace of God. This is all the mercy of God. This is all the kindness of God. We should be always saying, thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me new life. I was going to eternal hell, but you redeemed me. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's go back to Titus chapter 3, verse 7.
That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
Now again he says, being justified by his grace. Why he has redeemed us? Why he has given us eternal life, there is a purpose. Just not like we got saved and just gone in the wind. God has a plan. Once he saves you, he wants you to be his partner. That's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came and said, listen, I came from my Father. Father sent me to redeem you. Now you and me are brothers. God doesn't have grandchildren. God has only children. Jesus Christ came to save us so we can be children of God. So all children of God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. St. John chapter 1 verse 12, he says, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the power, authority to be called the sons of God. See, when Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. When you are children of God, he says you are heir of God. God has given you grace. And so, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 17.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
See, if you are a child of God, if you are the heirs of God, then what is saying? You heirs with Jesus Christ, you are partner with Jesus Christ, so what you do? You suffer with him, so you will be glorified. If you want the glory, if you want the crown, if you want heaven, you want to live in eternity, it's not like receiving Jesus and denying Christ and walking away. Or receiving Jesus Christ today and going to bar tomorrow. Or receiving Jesus Christ today and going to some disco dancing tomorrow. That's not the reason God has called us. He has called us to follow him. Jesus Christ says, follow me. So when you are a follower of Christ, that means the word of God is saying, now if you follow me, if you follow my son, be my partner. If you are the partner with Christ, then you are the heirs with him. The kingdom is belong to you. The word of God says, I am the King of kings and Lord of lords, and you will be kings and priests with me. We are partner with Christ. We are going to work with him in here as well as in eternity. So God has called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. So here the word of God is saying, if you are really called by God, if you have the vision to follow Christ, then there is no turning back. You go through Christ and then he will give you everything what you need. Okay. Verse 8. Titus 3:8.
This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men.
See, it simply says, this is faithful saying, and this time he says, if you really, really believe Jesus Christ, then what you do? You do be careful living in this world and do good things. That's what the God's will is. He has called you not to be receiving Jesus Christ now and doing something tomorrow. The word of God says God's plan was for mankind for the foundation of the world. That somebody will obey me. Adam didn't obey him. All the Old Testament people, they disobeyed many times. But when he sent his son, he was obedient unto death. And when he is risen today, he said, now if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do all good things in Christ. Go to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before ordained when? Before even the world's foundation was laid. God wanted mankind to love him, to obey him, and be with him. That was the plan of God. That's why Jesus Christ came. And once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it is not difficult to do good things. It is naturally comes. That's why he says, if you are a child of God, you should be doing good things naturally. It should be your behavior, or it should be your practice doing good things. And if anybody sees you, why you do so good? I was a bad person. I was not doing anything good. Jesus Christ made me to be good. And that's what it is. Go to the Titus chapter 3 verse 9.
But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain.
Here is saying, when you are a believer, you have responsibility. As a believer, you should not be talking to somebody and having foolish questions. If somebody asks you foolish question, it's not biblical, it's not sound doctrine. And if somebody asks you foolish question, he says, avoid that person's questions. If somebody calls me, say, Pastor Peter, I have a question. Before I answer, do you know what I do? I pray. I pray in my spirit, Lord, let me answer this person. And if he asks me something foolish, I say, sir, what has to do this question to your spiritual growth? You want to know something about God? If you have any problem, then you let me know. But if you just want to waste my time, I don't have time. So here he's saying, avoid foolish question, foolish genealogy. Some person comes to you and say, you know what? I was born in the king's family. My dad was a very rich man. We had a big farm. We had this and we had that. So see, I have no practice walking. I always was driving Cadillac. So could you give me a ride? You know, they impress you that they are somebody or they were somebody. I would say, sir, maybe you were king those days. What are you doing now? I'm not here to listen to your genealogy, where you came from. What are you doing now? You cannot say, I was a king, so salute me and serve me. You are just an ordinary person. Go to work, earn the money, feed your family, take care of your business. Don't say, I was very rich and now I'm poor and I don't know how to cut the grass. So here he's saying, forget about those genealogy and all kinds of questions and all kinds of laws. So here the word of God is saying, do not fight about the laws and the how to live and what to do. Now somebody comes and say, you know, I'm a Jewish man and we do circumcision. And so all the Christians should do circumcise. Do I believe that person? No. I said, sir, in the Bible it says there is no circumcision and there is no uncircumcision. Circumcision be done by heart. God wants to change your heart. Come and see what the word of God is saying. So here he's saying, all of these things you're doing is all in vain. Genealogy is nothing. You king or beggar. What you learned before, sometimes people come and they learn something else, which is not biblical. Undo it. There was a minister was working in another church for 17 years. And he wants to be pastor of our church. I sat with him for 7 days, morning until evening, and asked the questions, what you believe, what you learn. And whatever he learned, I said, okay, show me the scripture if your church says this. If it is not in the scripture, I'm not going to follow what you believe. This is what the Bible says, and I gave him 7 days teaching. He was already pastor for 17 years. So it didn't take me too long to teach him because only minor things. And when he agreed, I ordained him. And today he is serving the Lord. So the word of God is saying, we have to see the Bible, our textbook. Bible is our guidebook. If I am teaching you anything against the Bible, And any scripture against the Bible, you can after the service say, Pastor Peter, you said something this. This is not in the Bible. Why did you say this? I can answer. For example, somebody asked me a question. What do you believe in a lady pastor? Now I could say, oh, in the Bible, all the ladies and men are equal. I simply said, okay, let me ask you a question. If you are a husband and wife and you are children, who is the head of your house? Lady or man? Man is the head of the house, right? If the man is the head of the house, then the word of God says, if you want to be pastor and if you don't know how to take care of your own house, how can you be the pastor of the church? What does it mean? That person should know how to take care of his children. That person should know how to take care of his wife. That person should know how to run the house. And the God's house is bigger house than your house. Now you just tell me, if the God tells you to be a man, should be the head of the house, then what kind of God will tell you the man should not be head of the house, but the lady should be head of the house, and that bigger house is the church? There is no scripture in the Bible. Peter, Paul, James, John, Philip, or anybody. Philip had four daughters, but they were evangelists. They were prophets. But Philip did not say, I don't have a son, so I'm going to ordain one of my daughters to be pastor. Not a single person. Peter did not say, I'm a married man, but if I'm dying, I want my wife to be pastor. It's not in the Bible. Now, why it came here? Because it came into our world because women's liberation. Now, do you know this women's liberation didn't start today? It started in the time of Moses. Moses' sister was Miriam, older than Moses. Do you know? She's the one who saved his life. And Aaron was older than Moses. Then what happened? Moses got called. And Moses said, I'm not able to talk. My tongue doesn't work. He said, okay, here is the Aaron, your brother. He will be your spokesperson. Now, Aaron worked under Moses, older brother, listening to Moses. Now, one day, Miriam got an idea. She went to Aaron and said, you're my older brother. I'm also older sister to Moses. You're older to Moses. Why Moses is leading us? Why cannot we do something also? And they start fighting, and they came fighting with Moses. And the Moses came, and they were standing in front of tabernacle. Here comes God. And God started talking to Moses. And Miriam and Aaron heard it. What God says, I talk to people in a dream, in a vision. But I talk to Moses face to face. So what he was trying to say, Miriam, watch out. Right away, the Miriam got leprosy. That was the woman's liberation started in the old time. But some people didn't get it yet. And then 20th century or 21st century, the ladies can go on moon. They can go for war. They can do anything man does. What the Bible says, you can do anything, but still woman is a weaker vessel. The word of God is saying God has the wisdom. And if somebody has a woman's liberation and they are fighting, why other people has all the jobs for ladies? Why cannot we have a job in the church as a pastor? And some of the churches still have. They started giving ladies that kind of job. And some lady comes, I'm coming to your church for 20 years and I'm a minister. Ordain me, otherwise I'm going to leave the church. What the word of God is saying? Word of God is saying the man should be head of the house and bigger house is the church. Then what? So lady said, then what should I do? Oh, you can do evangelical work. You can visit the prisoners. You can do Sunday school job. You can do usher job. You can pray for sick. You can help pastor to do every ministry, even the witnessing, Bible study, and all other things. Only leave the pastor job. Because pastor job is the head of the house. If the head of the house is the man, the head of the big house is the church. Simple as that. You don't have to argue with that. Or if somebody argues with me, you have to bring one proof in the Bible that lady was ordained by somebody. Paul, Peter, John, when was their ordination done? Show me the scripture. None. Okay, so what we do? We follow the Bible. I'm not against ladies. I have my wife. She has the Bible degree, master's degree. Not only that, she's ordained twice in America, in a big conventions. My daughter, she has the master's degree. She can also teach and preach. I did not ordain her. I did not ordain my wife to be pastor. What I'm trying to say, they are ministers. They can preach, they can sing, they can talk. There is no restriction. But if the God says man should be head of the small house, man should be head of the big house. Simple. So point I'm making, here he's saying, do not argue unnecessarily. It's not good for you. It is not profitable. It's all in vain. We have to work together for Christ. And Jesus Christ is coming. We have no time to fight. We don't have time to argue. We don't have time to pull here and there. We have to say, Pastor, how can I work with you? What kind of job I can do? Sunday school, my wife is doing in Sunday school. Somebody says, oh, I want to help you once in a while. It can be helpful. So point I'm making, we don't have to argue. If somebody doesn't come, I'm not going to somebody. I'm going to appoint you tomorrow. That is your job. You have to stand at the door and shake hands. You like it or not? No, I'm not going to say that. This is has to come from your heart. And we have to work together for the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is coming. If you want to praise God, lift your hand, clap your hand, tap your feet, feel free. The word of God says we're coming together for what? Encourage one another, not discourage, encourage and make people feel at home. Okay, let's go to the verse 10.
A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject.
Now read this word a couple of times. You will get the meaning. It's a little bit difficult, but it says if any person, heretic, means twisting the word or giving his own idea is not biblical and teaching the wrong doctrine in the church or anywhere. And if you found out and you are a minister, you are a man of God, you talk to that person, warn that person. He says, one time or two times. Warn him, sir, what you're saying is not in the Bible. So he says the heretic brings the idea, start teaching somebody. If that person doesn't listen, reject. What do you mean reject? Cut it out. Or tell that person, stop it. Don't do it. It's not good for you. Verse 11.
Knowing that he that is such is subverted, and sinneth, being condemned of himself.
See, that kind of person does not listen, wants to teach something which is not biblical. What is he doing? He is doing wrong thing and he is committing sin. One day one man came to me. He was a Hindu man. And he said, I can teach Bible. I said, where did you learn it? It's nothing else to learn because it's very simple. I said, okay, are you saved? No, I'm not saved, but I can teach Bible. I said, okay, sir. I gave him the book of Revelation and gave one passage. Tell me what it's saying. He starts saying anything comes in his mind. I said, sir, this is not the way you teach. You have to learn to teach. If you go to school, in a college, and you don't have the high school diploma, do you think that in a university they are going to give you a job to teach in university? No. So I know ABC, three letters. So I just came to teach you ABC. What they're going to tell you? You're going to say, a fool, get out of here. We know ABC 20 years ago we learned it. So that's what he's saying. Some person comes and teaches you something. You tell that person is wrong and he keep on doing the same thing. He said that person is sinning. And that person is not doing any good to himself. Means he's what? Just like a kicking on the prick. Kicking on the prick. What's happening? You get hurt. There are people who want to change. And there are people they don't want to change. Some people come to me and they said, I learned this thing and this thing and this thing. I said, sir, what the Bible says? So the lady says, somebody's teaching, this is the what Bible says. This is the what Bible says. And he's reading the word to her. She said, don't tell me what the Bible says. I listen what my bishop says or my pastor says. I don't read this Bible. Whatever my pastor says, that's what I believe. So those kind of people, they don't read the Bible. One lady I met, and I said, hi, sister, how are you? Oh, I'm a Christian. I said, sister, do you read the Bible? No. I said, why? Bible is the old thing. God's talked to me every day. And I'm in the Lord. I said, sister, wait a minute. You say you don't read the Bible? No. Bible is old book, right? So you need a new manna every day. How do you know that manna was from the Lord? How do you know that word's from the Lord? Because if that word is not according to the Bible, I don't take it. So people are saying, well, I don't have to go to church. I told you the other day one man I met him. Do you go to church? No. Why? Because all the people in the church are hypocrites. So I don't go to church. So I said, sir, you think all the people on the church hypocrite? Did you find any church in the world yet? Say, I went to all the church and they're all hypocrite. I said, sir, what happened? I stopped going. I said to him, sir, read Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25. What it says? Encourage somebody to go to church. Some people do not want to go to church. They do not know Jesus Christ is coming. If Jesus Christ is coming, then the man of God should be telling people, be ready for his coming. If you don't go to church, how are you going to learn about Christ and his coming? Okay, let's go back to the Titus chapter 3, verse 12 and 13.
When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them.
Okay, now this is simple. You don't need a translation. He is telling who to bring, who not to bring, and he says, come, I'm going to spend the winter here. But let's go to the 14 and 15.
And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful.
See, now he said, let ours also learn to maintain good works. What do you mean, ours? Our church, our family, our ministry. We cannot preach to others and you live in sin. There are people say, oh, I just tell other people, but I don't live that way. Doesn't mean I tell my children not to smoke, not to drink. You tell all the time? How about you? Oh, I do the same. Are you thinking that if you smoke, if you drink, and if you do everything, your children are going to listen to you? They are not going to listen to you. You said they are small. They are not going to stay small. They are going to grow up. Now they are 10 years old and you can say, don't smoke. Sit down. You know, if there is one child says, I'm sitting down, but inside I'm still standing. Children, they are not going to listen to you because they are going to listen to the person who is listening to God. They know what is good and bad. If you're smoking and you say, don't smoke, if that child is 10 years old, he says, okay, I'll wait. And when he's 18, and father's face. Why? Because father didn't give up and he was telling him not to do it. So he's going to smoke in front of you or put the smoke on your face. So what the Bible saying? He says, let's tell our people. Means church people, family members, pastors, evangelists. Hey, we have responsibility. We have to live a good life. Maintain our good works, good kind of ministry. He says, this is necessary, useful, be not unfruitful. So what he's trying to say? If you are a born again child of God, your life should be faithful, fruitful, and useful for others. We cannot be stumbling block for others. If you are a stumbling block for others, then you cannot win them to Christ. Somebody says, you know, when I go to church, I'm a good man. I read the Bible, I pray, I sing. But out of the church, I'm the worldly man. I can do anything. Only in the church, I have to be nice. What is that? Deceivers. Or he says, wolf and sheep's clothing. I have to say, I'm a good person. You don't have to say, I'm a good person. People are going to see. What he's saying? If the tree is good, how do you know? The fruit is good. If the fruit is good, the tree is good. You don't have to impress anybody how good you are. People are going to watch. They are going to find out. And they are going to know you are good or bad. Okay, verse 15.
All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Okay, now finally it says, all that are with me salute you. Means you should say somebody, hi, hello, how are you, sir? They should be in the faith of God. The Bible says when you're walking, don't keep on saluting and get the salute from somebody to feel good. Then he says, the grace of God be with you. Amen. We are a Christian, brothers and sisters. We love the Lord. We are living in the grace of God. Let the people see that we are the children of God. And if you want to help somebody, don't go looking at a beggar on the center city somewhere to give him a penny or give a dollar. Where should you help somebody? He says, help household of God. If the child of God, if the brother and sister hurting, help them first. Not looking for somebody. There is a letter come for charity. Oh, in some country they need money, you are send charity. That's good. But if your neighbor, if your son, your daughter, or somebody has a need, give them first. Not to foreign country. Foreign country comes next. Bible says if your own brother is hurting and you don't love him, how can you love God? You don't see him. So our job to take care of the household of faith, the brothers and sisters in Christ. If they have a need, you have to help them. Pray for them. And our God says, you know, Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, what he says? My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So our God is a rich God. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. But we have to be in Christ. If somebody is doing something wrong, if somebody comes to me and say, give me $10. And if I know that man is a drunk man, or the smoking man, or he's a liar, or he's a cheater, I will not give him a penny. If he says, but I'm hungry, okay, let's come to the store, McDonald's, some store, give him food, no money. I did many, many times. Other day I was cutting the grass and one person comes, you know, all in the morning. Sir, I'm hungry. Can I have some money? I said, no. I took him to so many places and those places were closed because they don't open until 11, 11:30. And that was like a 9:30 or so. Finally, I took him to the Rite Aid. And I said, here is the food. Get anything you want. No limit. And he bought some. Put it on the counter. I gave the money. I said, that's it? Yes. I said, sir, do you know why I'm doing this? I'm doing this because I love Jesus Christ. And I'm doing this, someday you should follow Christ. You know what he said? I don't want Jesus. I don't love him. I'm not going to go to any church. What would I have done? I would have said, keep that thing back again. Take everything from him. But I didn't say. I said, okay, sir. Someday you would know. Even though you said you don't believe in Jesus, you don't want any part of Jesus, still I'm giving you food because you said you're hungry. One day you will remember there was a man of God who gave you food. But point I'm making, help the man of God, the child of God. If that person is not, the word of God says, cast your bread upon the water. And what? After many days, it will come back to you. What bread is he talking about? The simple bread you put in the water, the fish will eat. He said, the word of God, you give it to somebody, it will return. It will come back to you. So our work in Christ is not in vain. Shall we rise? So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. Lord Jesus, you called us with a definite calling. And you called us to do good things, good works for you. Give us that vision that we are co-worker with Jesus Christ. And we are going to live with Christ, reign with Christ for eternity. Give us that hope and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.